சதாசிவசமாரம்பம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்தியமம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் ஸ்தாபகாய தர்மஸ்ய சர்வதர்மஸ்வரூபிணே அவதார வரிஷ்டாய ராமகிருஷ்ணாய தே நமஃ சர்வமங்கலாங்கல்யே சிவே சர்வார்த்தசாதிகே சரண்யே த்ர்யம்பகே கௌரி நாராயணி நமஸ்துதே கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய ஹரியே பரமாத்மனே ஹரதக்லேசநாசாயே கோவிந்தாய நமோ நமஃ ஆபதாம்பவர்த்தாரம் தாதாரம் சர்வசம்பதாம் லோகாபிராமம் ஸ்ரீராமம் பூயோ பூயோ நமாம்யஹம். कल हमने श्रीमद् भागवत की कुछ भूमिका बताई, आज उसकी खास विशेषता और भागवत नाम कैसे रहे, ऐसा है हमारे सी यस्टरडे वी टॉक्ड अबाउट द ग्लोरी ऑफ भागवत, but today we are going to talk about the speciality. How is it that it differs from all other religious texts like Ramayana or Mahabharata or say Bhagavad Gita even? And also we want to know how the word Bhagavata has been given. See, in all the religious texts, whatever name is given, the name signifies the contents of the entire text. As to what they are speaking about in this book, the name itself contains, the title itself contains the full significance. So, Bhagavatam means, it can be interpreted in Sanskrit in two different ways. In one way, we call it as Bhagavataha Idam Bhagavatam. That is, that which deals about the stories of the Supreme Lord. That is called Bhagavata. And it's not only that. So, Bhagavataha Idam Bhagavatam. Bhagavata means the bhaktas of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord. It also speaks about some of the anecdotes relating to the glory and the nobility and the devotion of many of the devotees of the Lord. Then, what is the speciality about this? One day, Krishna called his intimate friend, almost a brother-like, and his minister, Uddhava, and told him, Uddhava, I wanted to destroy all the negative elements, the so-called asuras, in this world, and have fully achieved it. And now there is no purpose in my remaining in this earth. I would like to leave for my permanent abode, that is Vaikuntha. Then Uddhava shed tears. He said, Krishna, what are you talking about? See, in all these so many years of your life, the great sages and saints have been meditating on the most beautiful form of yours as Lord Krishna. We call it Divya Mangala Vigraha. It is not only divine, it confers a lot of benefit on the people who looks at that form of the Lord. And Tvaya Virahita Bhaktaha Katam Sthasyanti Bhutale. Krishna, please rethink of this. And now that they know, now they know that God, whom they have worshipped for years and have reached a high stage of spirituality, has now left his body and dead and is dead, they will feel extremely the pang of separation from you, the permanent separation from you, and they cannot remain alive in this earth. They will all leave their body and you will be responsible for it. So, and not only that, to think of the Lord in a formless way and to worship Him, it is much more difficult. And that is why the Lord has given us the one method of, because when the Lord has taken these forms of all these billions of people in this world, He can also take the form of Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, Lord Shiva, any form He can take. And in the form of Krishna has been most attractive. And then Krishna rethought about it. Yes, what Uddhava says is right. A number of saints and sages have reached a high stage of spirituality, but not at their goal. And only by meditating on my beautiful form, on my handsome form. So what can I do? He immediately, the one who was standing before Uddhava suddenly disappeared. Tirodhaya pravishtoyam sarchat bhagavat arnavim. Then what happened? He went and entered into the religious text, Srimad Bhagavata. Bhagavata is an ocean. So in that ocean, he dissolved himself. In what form? Saisha hi vagmayi shakti hi pratyaksham vartate hare. See, where there is energy, the energy can convert itself into mechanical energy, into electrical energy, into sound energy. There is only one energy, but it can transform itself into various types of energies. So naturally, what all we talk, when we talk, that's from the ability to talk has come to us. It has all been derived from that ultimate source, from the Supreme Lord, who is also, who can take the form of any power, any energy. So, He has entered into it in the form of sound energy. Naturally, and how is He entered into this as a sound energy? There He is not hidden. Those who are able to do it properly, while doing it with absolute sentiment, think of the Lord only and not about anything else, they will be able to come face to face with Lord Krishna. So pratyaksham vartate hare, there the Lord remains face to face with you, but not all can see that, but He is there very much. And when we reach a stage of progress in spirituality, we will all be able to see Him personally, face to face. And that is why in Bhagavata, even if you read in the original Sanskrit language without understanding a word of it, well, let the Europeans do it, let the Indians do it. In India itself, very few know Sanskrit to their extent. So when they read it, the Lord in the form of sound energy, He enters into him and thus purifies him and reveals himself to him. This is the glory of Bhagavata. That is why it is written, Shlokardham, Shlokapadamba. Even if you hear while passing by, 1/4 of the verse or half the verse, even then to that extent, you get the divinity inside you. This is the speciality. Nowhere else the verses in a book represent the Lord Himself, where the Lord Himself has come and sitting in every word of that book. Neither in Ramayana, nor in Mahabharata, nor in any religious text it has been told that you just recite it and the Lord is before you, because He is there in every word of that book. This is the speciality of Srimad Bhagavata. Now, yesterday they were talking about, because the entire thing is a conversation between the king Parikshit and the best of the Jivanottas, the one who has liberated himself while alive. So, in that conversation, how Parikshit was able to get his liberation within 7 days only by hearing. He didn't do any rites. He was not doing any karmakanda. He was just hearing it and he got it. Well, so many of us hear Bhagavatam, we don't get it. And that is because of the fact that the Parikshit was of a very high order. She was an absolute devotee at heart, even though temporarily he has forgotten his heritage and was wasting his time as a king. But when the time came, he was able to relinquish his kingdom, Demeter's kingdom, and come away and sit without food, without taking even a cup of water on the Ganges, near the Ganges. So they want to say, how did Parikshit inherit it? Number one, because his mother was a noble lady and a devotee of the Lord. His mother Uttara, who was the daughter-in-law of Arjuna, she was of a very high order. Not only that, her mother-in-law Draupadi, she also rose to a very high level. He is going to tell one episode as to how it has happened. The first is, now that Lord Krishna, his work is over in the Mahabharata war, he has to go back to his kingdom, Dwarka. We are coming to the earlier portion of Krishna's life. So he has to go back. He goes and takes leave of his aunt, Kunti Devi, and all the Pandavas. But then, just at that time, Uttara see, the Uttara, the daughter-in-law of Arjuna and the mother of the mother-in-law of this Uttara, then Uttara, the mother of the child to come, the Parikshit, comes running, and behind her there's a big light pursuing her, and that light was full of heat and it was practically burning everything on the way. It was the ultimate, the an atomic divine arrow called Brahmastra. If Brahmastra or a divine, such a divine arrow, it is the most, it has got the highest divinity. If such an arrow is sent, there is nobody can stop it. It will go to the goal and then completely reduce them to ashes. So it is pursuing her. She comes running. Pahi pahi mahayoginem deva deva jagatpadem nanyanta dhabayam pashye. Lord, you have to save me. The Ashwatthama, because he had killed his father Dronacharya, who was the preceptor of both Pandavas and Kauravas in Orchidi, he had vowed vengeance against them. He has promised to take vengeance. So he has left the Brahmastra, but he doesn't know how to draw it. He only knows how to throw it, but he will not know how to draw it. He wants that there should be no son, no son in the line of the Pandavas. They should all lie childless. With that in view, he wanted to kill the child and the womb, who is going to be called Parikshit later on. She comes and falls at the feet of Krishna, just by his side. Her father and Sella are all standing. Arjuna is standing with his famous bow and arrows. And Bhima is standing with his mace, we call it Gada. And everybody is standing with his arrows ready. Sahadeva, Nakula, all these people are happy. But she didn't cast a single glance towards them. She said, they are all useless in time of a crisis. They cannot save me. Only Lord alone can save me from this crisis. And she goes and falls at his feet. Lord, you save me. I don't find anybody who can save me here excepting you. Nanyanta dhabayam vashi. Except you, nobody can save me. This is the absolute surrender. See, this is not a story alone. From every place we have to gather what is the sort of a sadhana we have to do to get to the Lord. Well, she would approach their father-in-law. Well, that should have been the proper way. But she ignored them all and only depended on the Lord and the Lord alone. See, we simply say to the Lord, Lord, I have surrendered myself to your feet. And every day we repeat. When once you have surrendered to the Lord, it is like giving an irrevocable power of attorney to the Lord. You do what you like with me, I leave it to you. I don't care what happens to me. That sort of a courage one should have, that sort of a faith one should have in the Lord. He is told, what are the factors which should be in surrender? It is told in the scriptures. That is first anugulya samarana. Whatever is acceptable to the Lord, whatever he may do, I will accept it. Say, I am now in Haridwar. I am working in a central school and I am transferred to a foreign place, some Timbuktu. Then we normally try to work against it. Because my own house is here, my parents are there, so I would like to go to some unknown place called in Timbuktu. So I try my level best, but don't do it. Whatever is given by the Lord, accept it with pleasure and not with pressure. Then, rachane varanam tatha. Simply don't say, oh, the Lord knows everything, so He will Himself come and protect me. No. You have to wail and ask the Lord, pray to the Lord, please protect me, please protect me. That is, you have to tell Him that you want Him to come near you. Because what happens is, say a mother has gone for her children and she is busy in the kitchen. One of the young children, it falls down, it kicks its feet and begins to wail, Amma, 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 Amma. Then she will leave everything in the hand and she will come running to the child that weeps and makes such a lot of noise, while the other children will be just looking at it. Similarly, the Lord may be busy with so many millions, and as such, we have to call on Him. We have to call on Him for yourself. Anu, there is Achade Maranam Tatha. Then, Atman Kshepa Katpanya. Completely you throw yourself before Him. Dwarupada Tere Tukura Dhuvya Pyarkaru. I have come and I am just lying down at your door. Either you kick me or you kiss me. It's all one the same to me. I have come here. I have surrendered myself to you. So that sort of a surrender should be there. Then Karpanya is helplessness. A child which is just born some 2 days back or 3 days back, supposing a fly comes and sits on its hand and bites it, the child cannot ward it off with his hands. He cannot move his hand or feet. He is helpless unless the mother and father takes care. The child cannot do by itself. It is helpless. Similarly, be helpless. Shadvidha Saranagati. So, your surrender means all these six factors one should have. And then only it is full surrender. Supposing we, see, it's all right. In normal matters, we may be having faith in the Lord. But suppose it's something very serious. My child is having some severe cancer. I will not say, Lord, you save him, and they keep quiet. I will go to the topmost expert in cancer, and I would like to do the best for him. So, we not only depend on the Lord, but also depend on other outside sources. So, this cannot be. When also you are given the power of government, one, you cannot do anything else. You leave it completely to Him to do what He wants. Thus, Bhagavan, immediately the Lord Krishna, He goes inside the womb of Uttara, and then He takes the form of a mini Krishna, a very, very small one. The same beauty, the same handsomeness, the same form, but a mini version. And with his Sudarshan Chakra in his hand, that is protecting, it goes on circulating all around Lord Krishna and sees to it that the Brahmastra cannot enter into the body, nor can it touch the body of Uttara. And the child is practically 10 months old. So the child is seeing, what a personality. Who is this person? Ha! I have never seen such a handsome person. And he is wonderstruck. And the Lord's duty was such that He would like to go on seeing it and at no time cease to see that. So, that is why later on, when the child came out of the womb, he was known as Parikshit. Pariksha means examination, test. Whenever anybody came to see, after all, when a child is born, your neighbors and relatives, they come to see the child. whenever such persons came for a long time, this child used to look at them. Is he not that child who was so nice, who was so handsome, who was there in the womb, protecting me? Then he said, no, this can't be. Like that he used to test all the people who came to find out whether it was the same Lord Krishna who had helped him when he was in the womb. And now we come to the how his Kunti Devi was the mother-in-law of Putra. Kunti Devi's son was Arjuna and Arjuna's son was Abhimanyu. So, now before the Kunti Devi, there is another beautiful anecdote of her own mother-in-law, that is Draupadi. What happened was, one night, after all those days there was no electricity, and Draupadi, the mother of all the five Pandavas, the wife of all the five Pandavas, she was sleeping in her tent along with her five children who were called Upapandavas. Even though they were small in age, but they looked just like their father in personality. They were tall, I mean too tall for their age. And that night Ashwatthama again chose, I will go and kill all these five children. All these. So in the night he comes, just like a thief. There is no light, but he was able to see. So with his sword, she kills all the five children when Draupadi has gone to the bathroom perhaps. And he runs away. And when Draupadi woke up, she was shocked to see that all her five children have been murdered in cold blood by somebody. She begins to wail and weep. She calls on her husbands. Then Arjuna was the first to come in. He saw the plight. Then he said, Draupadi, please don't weep. I know who has done it. The one who has done it is Ashwatthama, the son of our Dronacharya, our preceptor. I will go after him, I will bring him back, and before your very eyes, I will behead him and place his head on your feet. Don't worry. So this is the way of retribution which the Kshatriyas, the warrior race, used to give. After all, he is a warrior. So he knows only, see, if you are Sattvic, you will purchase some toffees and give it to her. Come on, don't worry, you take this toffee. But he being, belongs to the Kshatriyas, the warrior race. So naturally, he makes a vow that way, that this is my vow. And then Arjuna started along with Krishna In his chariot he pursued fast the fleeing Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is fleeing away, but he knows if Krishna is there, he is definitely to be caught and punished. And punished with his life. He will lose his life. He runs, but Krishna goes and catches him with him, defeats him, and just like a butcher binds the sheep or the various other animals which ought to be, whose meat other people will take. In the same way, she just bound him to the chariot, mercilessly cutting deep into his flesh. And he was bending back his way towards Draupadi. And Draupadi was standing outside, weeping. And his chariot came and stopped. You see the reaction. If it were any other woman, she would go in front of him, that Ashwatthama, and spit at him and with anger shout at him, "A merciless rascal, can't you spare at least one child for me? What did you kill? They were all innocent children. They have never harmed you at all. Then why did you kill them all?" And then she will shout and weep. But Draupadi did none of those things. Niriksha Krishna Bhagatam Guru Sudam Vamaswabhava Kripaya Nanamasa. She was a very high quality. So naturally, when the chariot stopped, she goes and does prostration to Ashwatthama. It is something which is unheard of. Ashwatthama was a criminal. He has been a murderer. He has just barely done so, and his hands are still red, crimson with the blood of those innocent children. She goes and does not only that. She tells Arjuna, "Muchyatam uchyatamisham brahmaro nitaram guruhu." See, look here. He's a Vedic scholar who has done a lot of penance. So, don't touch him. Come on, release him from the bondage. And not only that, he is your guru. What? Has Draupadi become mad? Ashwatthama's father was the guru. How did she say that Ashwatthama was the guru? She quotes the Vedas. Atmavi putranamasi. It is the son who is born as his own son. Every son is the replica of his own father. Internally. So he is as good as the Guru Putra, the son of a guru, the son of a preceptor. He is as sacred as the guru himself. You can't touch him. So thus she quotes the Vedas and then she says, "Marodi dasajannim do devi pati devata." Then she found Arjuna is not relenting. He is strong that he has to fulfill the vow. He has to behead. He is standing ready with his sword. This appeal didn't make any dent on Arjuna. Then now she appeals to his sentiment. He says, "Look here, I have already lost my 5 children. They are not going to come back. And I am weeping and weeping and weeping. Do you want that Ashwatthama's mother, Gautami, also should be reduced to that plight? She has already lost her husband. She has got only this boy. And you want to kill him also, so that she will also weep. So I am also already weeping, and by her also weeping, do I get any advantage over it? After all, my sons are not going to come back. So what is the fun in making somebody else weep?" So, if she found It did not have any effect on Arjuna. Arjuna was prepared still to behead him. Then finally, she tells him, she asks, you see, we call it, there are four types of approach to people. Either you make friends with them, nor you give them, say, my daughter, I will give it to him, and then make friendship with him. So, sama, dana, veda, or you try to create rift between he and his neighbor, so that they will fight among themselves and one of them will die. And lastly, you threaten him with punishment. So now at last, she threatens Arjuna with the punishment he can expect. Look here, he is not an ordinary warrior. He is a Brahmin, the one who has studied all the scriptures and who has also done a lot of penance for the Lord. So he has got that power, he has got that glory in his body. If only you touch one hair of his body, then all of you, along with your brothers, along with everybody related to you, you will all die. You will all be burnt to ashes by the glory of that great sage. He is a sage. You cannot touch him. Then, on hearing it, the eldest of the father-in-law, the eldest of the husbands, that Dharmaputra is very happy. She said, Dharmam nyayam sakarunam. Yeah, use all types of appeal. That you just quoted these scriptures. So you quoted an authority. It is full of dharma. It is according to the law prescribed for this world. Nyayam. It is logical. What you say is logical. Sakarunam. She has made an appeal to her sentiment. But what a beautiful way. Ah, Draupadi, I appreciate you. Then Arjuna is rethinking what to do now. On the one hand, he has promised, he has taken a vow. So if he is to break the vow, then we have great punishment. And he is to carry the vow, she has already told that he will be punished again. Not only he, all his relatives and all his friends, all will die. So now what to do? Then Krishna is testing him. He says, hey, he has killed your five sons. Why are you hesitating? She is a woman, she will talk like that. You go and kill him. But the appeal that Draupadi made had a beautiful effect on him. He was not prepared. So then Krishna tells him one way out. For a sage, you just shave off his head and leave him. After all, a sage is not a sannyasi. All the sages, all the rishis, they were all householders. So, and they'll be wearing all big jatas. So you just shave them off. That's equal to that death. He is told in the Shastras. Then he shaves off the head of Ashwatthama, and he always used to keep the very valued gem, something like a big diamond in his hair. So along with that diamond, she took off his hair and shaved him off and told him, get out. So this is how, see the glory. This is much earlier than the Bible, far, far earlier than the Bible. It is more than 4,000, 5,000 years old. Bible is barely 2,000 years old. You will find the Bible a similar circumstance when Christ was taken for crucifixion. That is, they will nail the crucifix on his body and he will die. The Roman soldiers are taking him and they are about to nail the crucifix on his body. Then he looks upwards and prays to the Supreme Lord, "Lord, they know not what they do. Forgive them." He asks for forgiveness for them. He says, "Please don't give any punishment to those people. Only think they are ignorant people. So please save them." So this is the sort of nobility which is not easy to have. And Vyasa has raised Uttara, Draupadi, Kunti, all these people to a high level as to how noble they were, how noble they were. And because Parikshit was born in that family, he has inherited all their noble qualities. And then, now Krishna was again prepared to go back to his kingdom, so he is about to get into his chariot and go to Dwarka, where his kingdom was. Before that, he goes and takes leave of his aunt Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas. Then Kunti Devi knows that he is not an ordinary nephew of mine. He is the Supreme Lord himself, who just for sports has taken this form and come here. So she praises him. She says, "Only through bhakti yoga, only through devotion, when the mind is completely purified, the great sages whom we can call Paramahamsas, only they can see you. How can we normal women, how can we understand you, Krishna?" And then she says, she just recollects all the past incidents where Krishna had rushed to them in times of crisis and protected them. When, in childhood, Bhima, one of her sons, he was poisoned by the Kauravas and his body was thrown into the ocean. Then, it was the Lord who saved him and brought him back. She remembered that, "Oh Krishna, you did that." Then again, "Oh Krishna, when these people built a beautiful house of wax for us, outwardly it will not seem that it was made of wax. We thought it was made of stones and mortar, but it was made of wax. And at night, Duryodhana had set fire to the entire house so that all the Pandavas may die." Lord Krishna again appeared before Kunti and led them through an underground channel out of the house and saved them. Not only that, once they were all caught in some forest fire. At that time, you saved us from those fires. And once Duryodhana told them, "Yes, I will give you your kingdom on one condition. You go and for 13 years you live in hiding. Nobody should know where you are. And then only I can give. If anybody comes to know, then the contract is off. He will not be given the kingdom. Go and hide yourself somewhere." At that time, he only saved by giving them the advice what they should do, where they should go. And he says, "Now, by hearing this prayer, how are we concerned? How does it influence us? This is a method of meditation. See, once it so happened, I was living in the outskirts of Bombay, Mumbai as it is called. And suddenly at night 10:30, my earlier wife's son, he got high fever, he was 104. And if the fever is left off like that, it could affect the brains. I had no medicines, I had no knowledge of medicines in those days. And at that time, no taxi, no auto, no sort of convenience will be available for going to Bombay. And this is a very small place, so nowhere near there is any doctor. It is 9:30. And my telephone has not been installed because I have just recently taken over the quarter. So it was supposed to take another 2-3 days for me to get my phone. So I couldn't phone up anybody. And I didn't know any neighbor whom I could approach. Then I told the lady in the house, there is only one thing to be done. You pray to the Supreme Lord. That is the only way. We can only depend on Him at this stage. This is a crisis where nobody else can help. She began to pray. About 11:30 or so, when I saw the temperature has come down sufficiently, it was perhaps 100, 101, that's all. And through the night, the child was to some extent all right, because the fever was not as high as it was then originally. And early morning by 4:30, I got a taxi and went to Bombay and all. Now, much later on in my life, when I sit down for meditation, when my mind is wandering here and there, it will not settle down. You just think of these incidents. Oh Lord, on that day I was helpless. Nothing would have done. And the child would have even died perhaps by the night time before I could get a doctor. You only helped me. Because she prayed to you, you have personally seen that the child was well enough. And the early morning when it was taken, the diagnosis of diphtheria, and the child was taken in the ambulance to the hospital and admitted. So, this is a type of meditation where you can remember all the occasions where the Lord has helped you when there is no other method of protection for you. The Lord alone could have protected you, and He did, because you prayed to Him. So this denotes one method of meditation in much later life. Everyone has got some such occasion where the Lord has saved them. Say my father is admitted in the ICU. The doctor has told, I don't think he will outlast this night. This night will be his last night. Then what would I do? I pray to the Lord. And then later on in my life when I remember, oh Lord, when my father is in the ICU, when the doctors declare he is not going to live for the night, He only protected him. He only saved him. And he lived for a number of years later. What compassion, Lord. I bow to you again and again. So thus, you can internally pray to the Lord and meditate. This purpose is served by this. Then, so, she asked for one boon. It's a beautiful boon, the like of which nobody would ever ask the Lord. Nipadasantunasya shruti tatatatna jagadguru bhavato darshanam yasyati apunat bhavadarshanam. Because every time I had a calamity, had a danger, you had come to help me in person, I was able to see you. And when once a person has got the direct realization of the Lord, with his inner eyes he is able to see Him directly, like you and I talking, then he will not have any more birth and death. He gets his liberation, final liberation, called the moksha. So, Lord, grant me that I might have in my life one after another dangers, crises, calamities, so that He will come to help me and I will be able to see You and I will get my moksha. So this is a sort of boon which is rarely be asked by anybody, whether man or woman. So then the glory. Then, see, her threads are very big, but I will only tell you how beautiful some of them are, because they give you also tips. So they also give you tips as how to do your meditation. They are not simple prayers. What do we do with somebody's prayer? You pray for your child, your father, your mother. How am I concerned with it? But in this case, they all chalk out a path for us to reach the Lord through prayers, through meditation. जन्मैश्वर्यश्रुतश्रीभिः यद्भवानमदपुमान् नैवार्हत्वभिधातुं वै वामकिञ्चनगोचरम्. इस् जस्ट् लैक् इन् द बैबल्. इन् द बैबल् हि सेस् इट् इस् ईसी फार् ए केमल् टु गो थ्रू दि ऐ आफ् ए नीडल् बट् नाट् फार् ए रिच् मेन् to go through the gates of heaven. A man who is puffed with pride that I belong to such and such race, my father was a divan, my grandfather was this, Janma, I should be here. I got a lot of control. I got 600 employees under me. They're all, whatever I see, they will do it. So this sort of a control. Shilta, I have read all the Vedas, I know a lot, I can quote the entire Vedas by heart. Thus, because of wealth, because of being born in a noble race, because of your learning, a person who is completely puffed with pride, he cannot even take your name once. He will not be able to take the name of the Lord once. He will not be able to call God Lord. He will never be able to do it. Because Tvamakinchana Gocharam, only those who are absolutely nothing, who possess nothing, only those people can see you. Akinchana. Kinchana means a little. Akinchana means not even a little. Absolutely nothing. Here again, it does not mean that you take away your, after hearing this you go home, you take your AC, put it in the river, you take your fan, put it in the other portion of the river, and nothing is there. That's not the idea of it. You have to leave your sense of position. There could be 1,000 things around you, but they are not absolutely attached to you. You never say, this is mine, this is mine. If they are taken away by some burglars or thieves, you are not in the least worried about it, because it is never yours. Well, to give you an example of it, Janaka was a great king. He was a king who has released the Lord. But because of his fate, from the previous birth, we call it prarabdha, the tendencies from the previous birth, or rather the actions he has done the previous birth, he has to reap the fruit. He was a king also. He was a king enjoying all the luxuries of a king, but at the same time, He was an absolutely a liberated soul. And he was patronizing on big stage called Yajnavalkya, for whom he has built a small cottage just on the outskirts of Mithila. Mithila is the name of that city. And every day evening, this sage Yajnavalkya used to hold satsanga with all the people, so many other Mahatmas, so many other sages, small sages, they will all come, they will all attend. And every day, that much distance, Janaka used to come, he also used to attend. Unfortunately, even though the satsanga was to start by 7 o'clock and end by 9 o'clock, if due to any reasons of the state, because he was so busy with his kingdom's work, if Janaka was delayed by half an hour or 1 hour, Yajnavalkya will not begin his satsanga till that king comes. Then all the other audience, they all used to whisper among themselves, "Watch out, your sage is, he is also afraid of the king, and because the king is giving him a lot of things, monthly provisions he is giving him, and he has built a kutiya for him, built a small cottage for him, that is why he is trying to please the Lord, please the king. Otherwise, he is a Mahatma, he is a sage. He does start at the usual time. Why should he wait for the king?" Then Yajnavalkya thought to himself, "These people don't know the greatness of the king Janaka." So one day it so happened, the class was going on of satsanga, and a number of palace guards came running in a very agitated manner and went slowly to Janaka and whispered something in his ears. And the king also answered in a whisper. They went away. Then the entire lecture took another 1 hour. When the satsanga was over after 1 hour, Yajnavalkya casually asked Janaka, "O king, those palace guards came in a highly agitated and perturbed condition. What is the matter like?" Janaka said, "Nothing. Only thing was, there is a big fire around my palace, and especially the harem where all my wives and children live, that portion has been completely engulfed by raging fire." I said, "What do you tell me? Call the fire brigade, that's all." He said, "My lord, your wife and children, their lives are at stake, and you are sitting here and hearing the satsanga for 1 hour." Then she says, "Anantam matame vittam yasya me nasti kinchana." "O sage, I possess nothing. But in one way, I possess something which is infinite. I possess everything. I possess the infinite. Mithilayam pradeeptayam namahe kinchat pranashyati." So, as I own nothing, Mithila Nagari has nothing to do with me. Even if the entire Mithila Nagari is gutted in fire, well, nothing happens to me. I am not at all bothered. This is the answer to you. So, he had everything, but he had absolutely no attachment to any of those things. And that is the way of a liberated soul. And that is what she says, "You are akinchana gochara. Those who have nothing, only those people can realize you. Other people who are full of pride, whatever the reason may be, well, they can never attain you in any number of births. she praises him and then she asks her boots. Now, Krishna is prepared to go back, but unfortunately he finds that the eldest of the Pandavas who was ruling the kingdom at that time, after the Mahabharata war, there is Dharmaputra. He had fallen into depression. Why? When Dharmaputra was going on the roads, everywhere he found either old men or children along with him. All the young men and warriors have died in the war. So all the children, all the old men, all the women were looking at him with an accusing eyes. Oh Dharmaputra, you are called Dharmaputra, the one who follows the law, and you are killing so many people. Is that the law? So as if they were talking to him, their eyes spoke, and Dharmaputra was highly affected. Oh my God, what have we done? How many children have been deprived of their parents? How many parents have been deprived of their sons? How many wives have been deprived of their husbands? What a crime I have done. It's a crime which is unpardonable, whatever be the reason. Thus thinking, he fell into deep depression. Krishna tried to bring so many sages, all gave him advice. See, look here. This is all in the game, in the duty of a Kshatriya king, a warrior race. He has to fight a war. When the war comes to his door, he can't run away from it, but he is not satisfied. So at last, Krishna feels the only man, perhaps, who can give him solace and take him out of the depression is Dharmaputra's great grandfather, Bhishmacharya, Bhishma. Bhishma was a great warrior, but he was worsted in the war, he was defeated in the war. So nobody can kill him because he had that bow that he could live his life at any time he wants. It's called Ichchavrati. When he wants to leave death, live his life. And he said, this is not the time for me to die. The stars and the planets are not propitious. That is what is called Uttarayana, when the sun goes to the other half of the solstice, starting from Kumbha and all that. So it is that which is propitious. It is coming in a few days. So I shall leave. How does he leave? He has fallen down, full of wounds in the body. Then Arjuna makes him stand and then puts so many arrows. He falls over the arrows. So there's a bed of arrows. And Bhishma is just lying there, taking Lord's name, waiting for the day when he should leave his body. Then Krishna went along with this. Along with Draupadi, along with all the Pandavas. And Bhishma welcomes the Lord. He says, oh compassionate Lord, what a compassion. Just at the time when I am going to die, you have given me your mission. You have come before me. What else do you want? Then Krishna praises him on the position regarding Dharmaputra. Then Bhishma, when Krishna asked him, please tell all the dharmic laws, the moral laws to Dharmaputra, the eldest, then he is not here, but he is there, people say, even the gospel of Ramakrishna comes. Then Draupadi laughs. Arjuna is asking Krishna, why did she laugh so loudly? Krishna said, she is your wife, you ask her. When they ask her, she says, You are asking for dharma from this man, this Bhishma. He was present at a time when Duryodhana wanted to dishonor me by disrobing me, by take off all my saris. At that time, this Bhishma was sitting there, the great grandfather. I asked him, "Oh Bhishma, you know all the dharmas. Please advise Duryodhana not to do such dastardly things." But he turned his face away. And such a man is going to give you dharma? So she laughed. Bhishma says, "It is absolutely true what you say, but at that time, my entire blood was made out of the food given by Duryodhana, the rascal, that bad man. And naturally my mind has become absolutely disturbed at that time. But now, all these days, all my blood has been drained out in this bed of arrows. So nothing of the old blood remains. But now my dharma has come back to me. So I will let him know." And thus, he tells him the various dharmas, the moral laws, the laws which had to be adopted by a wife, the law which had to be adopted by a celibate, the law which should be adopted by a sannyasi, by a mendicant, the law which should be adopted by a man of warrior ways, like that. He tells him all the dharmas. There again, there is a beauty which comes in Mahabharata, not here. When he had told all the dharmas, Dharmaputra was not impressed. This comes in Vishnu Sahasranama in the beginning. She asks Bhishma, "Ko dharma sarva dharmanam bhavata paramahamata kinjapan mochate jantu janma samsara bandhana." What is he telling me, all these worldly laws, the moral laws related to the worldly life? I don't care. You tell me one dharma, one law, which is superior to all these dharmas, by adopting which I will be able to reach the Lord. I will be able to become one with Him. And then Bhishma says, "The name of the Lord is the greatest dharma possible. You always take His name. O Krishna, O Lord, O compassionate." So you go on taking his names. And I will give you, for example, 1,000 names. And then he tells the Vishnu Sahasranama. This is the preface to it which comes there in the book. And thus he gave me all those things that Krishna, now at last, he returned to Dwaraka, his chariot. All the people in Dwaraka, they are all very happy to get Krishna back, because whether they knew that he was the Lord or not, they were so attracted by him, they could not bear his separation for long. So they were all longing that when will Krishna come, when will Krishna come. And they were all very happy when he came out there. And now, with this anecdote, I will end. Now, Uttara gives birth to his son called the Parikshit. As per the usual practice, Dharmaputra calls all the astrologers, famous astrologers, and asks them to read the horoscope of the child and to predict how the child will live his lifetime. And the astrologer, they praise him a lot. "Oh, he is going to be one of the noblest. He will always tell only the truth. Just like Ram, he will never utter a lie. And he will give in charity. And she will be the best among the orchards. The bow and arrow, she can wield them with expertise." And like that they told. And ultimately they told him. But he will get a curse from a great sage, because of which he will die at that time, within 7 days from the day of the curse, having been bitten by one of the greatest of the king of snakes, the king of all snakes, known as Takshak. And thus, because in those days, the astrologers were truthful. They will never hide the unpleasant portion and tell only the pleasant portion. So they told what all is going to happen. And thus, we are finishing today's portion, and we will see further tomorrow. Hari Om. Gopika Jeevana Smaranam Govinda Govinda. Paye Nama Chamana Sendeva Vijayatanala Vijayas Bhava Karo Yajya Sakran Prasmai Narayana Yajya Samarpayami Narayana.